Is Israel still a witness nation? Is Israel still a sign and wonder to the world?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. I am sitting here, I think it's the outskirts of London. Just arrived a few hours ago, and although I broadcast from around the world, this is my first time broadcasting from London, England, or from England in general. So welcome to The Line of Fire as we make history together. I broadcast from Israel, from India, from Singapore, from Malaysia, from Hong Kong, from Italy, and of course all over America. But first time coming away from England, so thanks for making history together on this thoroughly Jewish Thursday. I've got a lot of ground to cover. I want to open up some scriptures about Israel being a witness nation. I think it'll explain even more why some of the controversies that surround Israel exist. But before I get into that, before I get into the scriptures, let me talk about a real shocking piece of footage from Yemen. Maybe you saw last weekend tragic bombings. ISIS took credit for it, but there's massive civil war raging in Yemen. Al-Qaeda, ISIS, local tribes, it's just massive upheaval. And of course, the greatest number of casualties in Islamic wars are other Muslims. So two suicide bombings in mosques in Yemen, and what was it, over 130 dead and several hundred wounded. Well, the footage from one of the mosques is absolutely shocking. The Islamic leader is speaking. And as he's speaking, what he's saying in Arabic, draws a chant from the people. And they begin to chant out loud, death to Israel, death to America. We kill the Jews. And Islam has the victory, you know, along those lines. And as they're saying it the second time through, that's when the bomb goes off. Now, these are Muslims killing Muslims. They were and certainly in agreement with what was being chanted. They certainly agreed with death to America, death to Israel, kill the Jews, and Islam is victorious. But it's quite shocking. In a sense, it's a prophetic picture. It doesn't take much to see that and understand that, that as these men are riled up and are chanting their hateful words, and are cursing America and cursing Israel and cursing Jews worldwide and proclaiming the victory of Allah, that a fellow Muslim sponsored by other Muslims blows them up, kills men, young men, old men together, massacre in cold blood. But violence begets violence. When you are chanting these things and chanting this kind of violence, and this is during your sacred time of worship, this is on your Friday corporate prayer gathering, and you're hearing these inflammatory sermons, and now you're cursing the Jews, and the next thing, you're blown up. It's tragic. It's a tragic loss of life. And those people obviously are not chanting death to Israel, and then they wake up in the presence of God enjoying his favor. You're talking about people who die in the midst of judgment and rebellion. And yet it's an ultimate picture that those who curse Israel will be cursed. It's an ultimate picture that judgment will actually come, that there are consequences. Again, it's shocking footage. We posted links on Facebook and Twitter a couple days ago. If you missed it, just go to our respective pages. And if you're not connected with us, go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. And connect with us there. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. Michael Brown coming your way from England. Yes, for the first time ever broadcasting from England. My delight to be on the air with you. I'm not going to give out the number because I'm not going to be taking calls right now. Sit back, enjoy the teaching we'll be doing in Scripture. Some news updating we'll be doing as well. I may be responding on social media. If you have something you want to ask me about, interact with, I may be doing that in real time during the show on Facebook or Twitter later. So stay tuned. If I post something asking for Jewish comments or questions, then I'll be responding in real time online. Okay, so flew from Charlotte to Atlanta last night, then from Atlanta to London, and there was a plane that had gone down tragically in the French Alps. And as I get into my hotel room and open up my computer, I see these headlines: captain locked out of cockpit before crash, co-pilot intentionally forced plane into dive, deliberate attempt to destroy aircraft. Absolutely wild. Terrible tragedy. It's always tragic when you hear of a plane crash and a number of boys from the same school in a town in Germany. Obviously, terrible devastation. And that devastation can last for decades. And we want to pray for God's grace and for healing of the massive wounds that will exist in so many lives, and for people to turn to God and find mercy. If, in fact, this is done intentionally by a deranged co-pilot, all the more tragic, probably the sting even more intense. All right, Israel. Isaiah chapter 43. Look at what God says in verses 10 through 12. Well, in fact, let me back up a little bit. Verse 8, bring out the people who are blind yet have eyes, who are deaf yet have ears. Who's he speaking about? He's speaking about his people Israel, who are his servant and his witness, or servants and witnesses, and yet are deaf and blind. Isaiah 43:9, all the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I declared and saved and proclaimed, and when there was no strange God among you, and you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and I am God. Now, let's understand that. Witnesses testify to what they have seen. Witnesses tell a story so others hear the story and find out the truth of the matter. We have witnesses who put you at the scene of the crime. We have witnesses testifying. In the New Testament, Peter preaches and says, we are witnesses of the death and resurrection of the Messiah, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So the Holy Spirit testifies that Jesus has died and risen from the dead, and we also testify. Israel is a witness nation, but Israel is a witness nation even when Israel is in disobedience and sin. Israel still testifies to the truth of God, scattered around the world and yet preserved, and then regathered even in unbelief, continuing testimony to the promises and truthfulness of God. Now, the church, some church leaders over the centuries understood the witness principle but got it wrong. They said, well, Israel's role in the earth is to be forever cursed. Israel's role in the earth is to forever be scattered under divine judgment While the church builds its cathedrals and monuments, the Jewish people suffer and are scattered, and this testifies to the truth of the gospel. Well, obviously, Jewish people scattered around the world have been under judgment. We haven't been scattered around the world because of our obedience, but we have been preserved because of God's faithfulness and his love and his promises. And we continue to testify not simply as a scattered people, but as a preserved people and as a regathered people. So I want to make several simple points, just 4 points. And if you miss any of the broadcast, I'll be more in teaching mode than interacting with call mode and taking questions mode. Again, I'm going to try to interact with some questions in real time later on social media, especially on the Ask Dr. Brown page, ASKDR Brown. I'll be trying to interact with some of your questions there in real time during the broadcast hour or a little bit after. But right now, I want to do a little teaching, okay? So I want to make 4 points. If you miss any part, just go to the website later, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and then just click on latest broadcast later today, and you can catch the whole show. Number one, Israel's existence as a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Number two, the modern state of Israel only exists because God ordered the regathering of the Jewish people to the land. Number three, the world's hatred of the Jewish people, of the state of Israel, and of a Jewish Jerusalem is a supernatural hatred. And number four, Jesus will not return to earth until the Jewish Jerusalem welcomes him back. That's why the modern state of Israel is still a sign and a wonder. If you ask me, have I put this in writing in this particular way with these 4 specific points, I believe in the May edition of Decision Magazine from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, this article will be running, and I'm sharing some of the teaching from this article with you. All right, number one, Israel's existence is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. We're talking about Israel being a witness. Look, even if you don't say anything, you can still be shouting a message. Even if you don't use words, you can still be shouting a message out loud. And Israel's existence is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Jeremiah 31, verses 35 to 37. I always point out the context. The 4 verses before that, verses 31 to 34, God says that he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. He's now saying plainly, a new covenant, but not a new people. I'm not getting rid of the people I made the covenant with. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for light by day, and the fixed order of the moon and the stars for light by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. This is the Lord speaking now. If this fixed order departs from before me, what fixed order? The sun for light by day, the moon and the stars for light by night, God stirring up the sea so its waves roar. If this fixed order departs from before me, declares the Lord, then shall the offspring of Israel cease from being a nation before me forever. Forget all the wacky, crazy stuff. Well, America is Israel and England is Israel and the Native Americans are Israel and the Jews today are not Israel. No, the ones who have been preserved around the world and restored back to the land, same people. Did the sun shine today anywhere in the world? Is the moon and are the stars shining anywhere in the world? Is the sea roaring anywhere in the world? Well, as long as that continues, then the offspring of Israel will not cease from being a nation before God forever. Thus says the Lord, if the heavens above can be measured and the foundations of the earth can be explored, then I will cast off all the offspring of Israel for all that they have done, declares the Lord. The Jewish people continue to exist because the Lord promised it, regardless of his people's disobedience and sin. So think of it, despite divine discipline, despite satanic attack, despite the hatred of the nations, despite all kinds of unimaginable sufferings and dispersions, the Jewish people remain a distinct people on the earth. This is a testimony. to God's keeping power, and it's a testament to his faithfulness. He is a God who keeps his promises. Fellow follower of Jesus, this should encourage you. God is trustworthy, not just in some spiritual, ethereal way, by and by in the sky, but in a tangible way in the earth. God demonstrates his faithfulness, not our faithfulness, not the church's faithfulness, not Israel's faithfulness, but his faithfulness when he keeps and preserves Israel as a distinct people in the earth. Israel is then a witness nation in that regard, not only in that regard, but also in a very primary way in that regard. Our continued existence, the existence of the Jewish people, testifies to the reality of the living God who makes promises and keeps promises. A lot more to come. Stay with us from London.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for being part of our historic broadcast as I sit here in London, England, or right outside of London, England, getting ready for a weekend of meetings with some fine Christian folks here. Very interesting, talking to the pastor of the church, how the neighborhood in which he lives has become thoroughly Islamic as he's lived there over 20 years. When I first came to England to preach in 87, I'd been to England a couple times as a boy because my mom was born in Leeds, England. But when I first came to preach in 87, my first meeting started in a little city called Luton, England. And as I was at the pastor's house, we heard the prayer call, the Islamic prayer call. This was 1987. And he said that mosques were being put up and that churches were having a hard time getting property to build on, but mosques were giving preference, were getting preferential treatment. That was his perspective. And as I was preaching and seeking to stir the hearts of the believers with a wake-up call there, I asked a question. They looked at me like I was from Mars. But I said, who's to say in whatever the time, 20 or 30 years, England won't be an Islamic country? They looked at me like I was from another country, which I was, from America. And I didn't want to make like I was picking on England. I said, well, who knows? You know, 20, 30 years, America could be communist. I didn't believe that. I thought that something's happening with Islam here in England. Now, of course, it's a great harvest field, massive opportunity to reach Muslims with the gospel and demonstrate the truth of the gospel. But at the same time, Britain's future is very much up in the air in terms of what will happen in the coming years. All right. Before I get back to some teaching I'm doing on this Thoroughly Jewish Thursday broadcast about Israel being a sign, Israel being a witness, Israel testifying to the reality of God and the truth of God, I want to update you on a news story. Let's see. This is by Ari Yashar, IsraelNationalNews.com. And he reports about what's happening with the religious parties that will be part of the coalition with Likud, with Prime Minister Netanyahu. His party got enough seats last election that he did not need to bargain with the ultra-Orthodox parties, even though he himself is right-wing and we identify thoroughly with Judaism, he's not an ultra-Orthodox Jew. And the ultra-Orthodox parties, they have their very specific goals in mind. When they come into power, they very clearly want certain benefits from the government for their communities that they feel are in the best interest of their communities and therefore in Israel's best interest, and that's what they're going to press. Well, they do not like Messianic Jews. They feel that we are not just apostates, but the worst kind because we are, quote, missionaries. We're sharing our faith with others and we are encouraging Jewish people to believe in Jesus. And then there are Christians who do missionary work in the land of Israel. The only thing that's prohibited by law in Israel is you can't proselytize children. So it's, what, up to the age of 16? Is that it? And you cannot bribe people. Okay, if you'll convert, we'll give you this. If you'll join our group, we'll give you this. You can't do that. So if you're going to do, let's say, a youth meeting, and your young people in the congregation are inviting their friends who are not believers, they need to get parental permission to come. But otherwise, you can evangelize freely. You can stand on the street corner and preach. Well, the article says that Yad Lachim, which is an ultra-Orthodox counter-missionary organization that at times has been accused of intimidation and even acts of violence, and certainly they will try to intimidate and they will do their best to get Messianic Jews out of the country. Yad Lachim demands religious parties fight rising tide of missionary activity, noting its bill on the subject has been in limbo for years. Ariyasher reports, given the recent elections that paved the way for a coalition with the religious parties in a prime position, the Yad Lachim anti-assimilation NPO this week urged the parties to push through a law banning missionary activity in Israel. Writing to religious parliamentary members, the group stated, "We cannot emphasize enough how urgent it is to demand legislation against missionary activity in Israel. The financial difficulties that many families find themselves facing has created opportunity for the missionaries, as if when we do humanitarian work, reaching out with love to people in need, that now this is this duplicitous way to try to convert them. Don't ultra-Orthodox Jews help the poor and the needy and new immigrants? We do the same. Isn't that love your neighbor as yourself?" Quote, "At the same time, ignorance of Judaism leads many young people to attend missionary conferences, which lead to baptism." And check this out. They claim, Yad Lachim, ultra-Orthodox anti-missionary organization, they claim that, quote, "In the past 19 years, more Jews have converted to Christianity than in the 1900 years before that." Number one, I wouldn't use the term converted to Christianity. That's obviously their term. Number two, would to God that were true, that more Jews have come to faith in Jesus the Messiah in the last 19 years than in the 1900 years before that. That's certainly a massively exaggerated figure. But the good news is, obviously, something's happening. Obviously, Jewish people are coming to faith. Obviously, more and more Jews are getting born again, and the gospel is going forward in the land of Israel. That is glorious, and that is undeniable. And for that, we absolutely rejoice. And friends, we're on the front lines with that. Our Real Messiah website, well, it's now up. Go there. We're going to be adding a few more videos in coming days to catch up with the weekly Torah portions. But go there. Go to realmessiah.com today. Check it out. Start to explore the videos. We've got hundreds of videos there, scores and scores of new articles. Go to realmessiah.com and check it out today. And if you're a Jewish person listening and you don't yet believe in Jesus as the Messiah, go there. Listen to what I have to say. Look at some of the lectures that we have. Hundreds of hours of free resources are linked there for your edification, for your learning. There is a major new website that's out in Israel that answers in short answers Israelis, you know, taking 2, 3, 5, 7 minutes answering objections from the rabbis. And they largely drew a material from my 5-volume series, Answering Jewish Objections to Jesus. They wanted me to know, hey, the site is up, check it out. And we are in the process of raising funds to convert the Real Messiah site into a complete Hebrew website that will benefit seekers in Israel. So we're on the front lines by God's grace, making a difference. You can help us with that, with your contribution, by becoming a torchbearer. Monthly supporters are on the front lines with us. You literally hold our hands up as we go around the world with your gift of $1 or more per day. Isn't that worth sowing into Jewish ministry, $30 or more per month? God will certainly bless you for it, and the funds will go there, will go to help us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So check out the website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Click on donate. And then after you do that, your one-time gift, becoming a torchbearer, read about all the benefits for torchbearers, all the blessings that we send back to you in tangible ways of appreciation. And then visit Real Messiah. Check out what's going on there. Look at the great resources that exist to reach Jewish people with the good news of Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. God is at work in the land of Israel.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Israel continues to be a witness nation in the earth. The Jewish people continue to be a witness people in the earth. Michael Brown, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. For the first time, I'm coming your way from Greater London. First time coming your way from England on the air. It's a joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire. I'm going to be interacting on social media, taking some questions there as I'm able during showtime. I'm not going to be taking calls today. I'll also be answering email questions tomorrow. Make sure you send your email questions to us at info@askdrbrown.org, info@askdrbrown.org. I said earlier in the broadcast that Israel's existence is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. That was number one. Number two, the modern state of Israel only exists because God ordered the regathering of the Jewish people to the land. Now, I've gone through this many a time and never had a single substantive answer, a single solid biblical or theological response to this, and I'm going to put it out again. We see in the scriptures, when God blesses, no one can curse. When he curses, no one can bless. For example, Numbers 24:9. When he opens a door, no one can shut it. When he shuts a door, no one can open it. For example, Revelation 3:8. Well, we know passages like Deuteronomy 4:26-27, that God scattered the Jewish people in his anger and judgment, and banishing Israel from the land was one of his most severe judgments. And that means, and I'll say it once again, the Jewish people cannot regather themselves. We cannot regather ourselves and go back to the land if God has scattered us. Otherwise, we could overthrow the judgment of God. We could undo what he had done. I mean, that would be like the equivalent of someone able to keep Jesus in the grave, that they're going to overcome the will of God that he has declared will happen no matter what. You can't do that. So God promised Ezekiel 36:16-32, among other passages, that he would regather the lost sheep of the house of Israel from around the world, even in our unbelief. So we must recognize the modern regathering of the Jewish people back to the land as an act of God. This becomes all the more clear when you remember the historical context. Out of the ashes of the Holocaust, where America did not provide a refuge for fleeing Jews, where Europe could not provide a refuge for fleeing Jews or would not, when Great Britain, where I am right now in England, would not allow Palestine to be a refuge for fleeing Jews, when 2 out of every 3 Jews of Europe were wiped out, including 1.5 million babies and children. It was in this context, within a few years of the horrors of the Holocaust, that the modern state of Israel was born. This did not simply happen because people decided to make it happen. They didn't have it in their power to make it happen and to be responsible for a regathering of this kind. And let me say this plainly. It's a shame that one of the most significant acts of God in human history is missed by many followers of Jesus, many sincere followers of Jesus. It is a shame that a significant act of God, oh yes, there's human involvement. People did things. And when people get involved, it's not perfect. We understand that. But what we do know is this, that God who scattered is the God who would regather. This is what he said, Jeremiah 31:10, he who scattered would regather. So Israel's existence as a people is a testimony to the faithfulness of God, is a witness to who God is. The regathering back to the land is a witness to who he is. I want to get into some more scripture and then a couple of other news items as we have time on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, coming your way from England. For the first time after, ever. First time ever. Not after, the first time ever. Thanks for being part of this historic broadcast.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, we are continuing here from London, England, outskirts of London, England. Michael Brown, welcome to Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. Talking about Israel being a sign nation, a witness people. We said, first, Israel's existence is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Second, the modern state of Israel only exists because God ordered the regathering of the Jewish people to the land. Third, the world's hatred of the Jewish people, of the state of Israel, and of a Jewish Jerusalem is a supernatural hatred. And this is part of how Israel is a witness nation, that you cannot naturally explain these things. There is something supernatural taking place, and hence Israel becomes a sign and a wonder. Many of you know that years ago I did lectures at Yale University and Columbia University, invited in by Christian student groups there. So these were not academic lectures as a visiting professor there or something like that, as I've done at seminaries, but these were talks that I gave by the invitation of Christian groups that sponsored it, and I'd come in during the night and do one of these. So we had mainly students there from the school, sometimes faculty, other visitors would be there. And I did a couple of lectures on this very subject, the supernatural origins or the diabolical origins, or what I call one time the paranormal, just for fun, I guess it was X-Files days, the paranormal nature of anti-Semitism. And what I did was I explained how anti-Semitism was the world's longest hatred, the world's most irrational hatred, the world's most widespread hatred, and in certain ways, the world's most vicious hatred, at least when occurring in so many different ways and unlinked in so many ways over such a long period of time. In any case, I would then go through the various theories. Well, it's because of this. And I'd show, well, that explains parts one and two, but not three and four, you know, just to use an example. And then I'd say, okay, let's look at this explanation. All right, well, that really doesn't explain anything. Okay, well, let's look at this explanation. Well, that explains, no, but it doesn't explain this. So I'd go through all the explanations and then say, here's the only explanation. It's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. And let me tell you where it's going to culminate. It's going to culminate with the return of Jesus the Messiah to a Jewish Jerusalem that welcomes him back. And that explains this, 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 this. And the ultimate reason that there is this world animosity towards the Jewish people is because Satan hates the Jews and wants to wipe them out. You're going to talk about Satan on a college campus at Yale University, Columbia University? Yeah, I did. And then we had interaction, I think at Yale, when I did it over two decades ago, we must have had a couple hours of interaction, if I remember correctly. It was a long time of Q&A. Columbia, maybe 45 minutes an hour, but I just remember it was a lot of time of Q&A. And a guy came up to me, one of the students at Yale, and he said to me, I disagreed with you, but I have never seen the opposition so politely dismantled and destroyed as you did. In other words, they came up with answer after answer after answer after answer, and then I pointed out why none of their answers worked. And the only logical, think of this, the only logical explanation for the phenomenon of anti-Semitism is a supernatural explanation. There is no natural explanation for the intense hatred focused on the state of Israel, as if it were the most evil and despicable country on the planet. I mentioned this the other day, but it's good to repeat on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, that the UN recently did a study and concluded that the nation in the world that is the worst offender when it comes to women's rights is Israel. No, I'm not making this up. I wouldn't make up something so patently absurd. Yeah. Is Israel. You say, what are they talking about? Israel's had female prime ministers, like Golda Meir. Israeli women serving the army alongside of men. Israeli women have influential roles all through the society. One of the liberal kingpins is a female politician in Israel, and she's one of a number. I mean, you talk about a nation with some strong feminism. Israel's the place. No, no, no. But they mistreat Palestinian women. I mean, that was the excuse. So with all the oppression of women in the midst of radical Islamic societies, with all the atrocities committed against women, from honor killings to acid attacks, burning their faces, to on and on and on. What? It doesn't make any natural sense to single out Israel in this way. I'm not saying Israel's perfect in all of its dealings with the nations, or Israel's perfect in itself. I'm just saying that there's no natural explanation for the intense hatred. It's truly incomprehensible that so many people over the centuries and to this day could believe such outlandish lies about the nation of Israel and the Jewish people, unless it is Satan himself who's fanning the flames of Jew hatred. Here, let's be candid. Some of the weirdest, wackiest calls we ever get from people who often don't want to listen to a word I have to say and who will use deceitful means to get on the air, very politely say they want to raise a question about thus and such on the air to our call screener, and then I get them on the air, and that was just their way of getting on to come up with the most bizarre, ridiculous, absurd statements. And what does it normally have to do? Who the Jewish people are? The modern state of Israel. And I wouldn't mind if someone says, I differ with you about Israel, and I believe that America is really the descendants of the Jewish people, or Great Britain is, or whatever, or that Muslims are really Jewish. I mean, tell me what you want to talk about, and if I decide to have you on the air, fine. But, I mean, people will use deceitful means to come on. Is it any coincidence that some of the weirdest and wackiest calls we ever get are from Jew bashers, from Israel bashers, and who are going to not only hate the Jews today, but tell us they're not really Jews? A little ironic, isn't it? And this hatred is focused in particular on the city of Jerusalem, the only national capital among the nations that's not recognized by the rest of the nations. Is it any surprise then, at the end of the age, that the Lord will make Jerusalem, I'm quoting from Zechariah 12, verses 2 and 3, the Lord will make Jerusalem a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples, a heavy stone for all the peoples? At that time, he will fight for his people and bring them to deliverance and repentance. So just the level of hatred against the Jewish people worldwide, and focused hatred on the modern state of Israel, and focused hatred on the city of Jerusalem, that tells me loud and clear something supernatural is going on. Many years ago, before I was walking with the Lord, you know that I was a heavy drug user for a couple of years. And there was a junkie whom I'd become friendly with. And I came from the hippie LSD pot background and was not on the streets as a heroin addict. But I began shooting heroin. And now I was hanging out with heroin addicts. And these were often a very different type of people than the hippies I used to hang out with. I still hung out with them. They were more violent. They were more criminal in their background, or they become criminal through drug use. And I remember there was a guy over at my house. We were getting high together. A couple of my friends were over, and this junkie, this heroin addict. And in those days, I had these metal drumsticks that I used to work with on a drum pad, just to have them a little bit heavier and develop some, you know, the muscles and speed and things like that. And my friend noticed that some of his drugs were missing, and he said, who's got them? Somebody here has them. And we all said, well, no, we didn't do it. So we're wondering, okay, what about this junkie guy? Maybe he did. So he said, I didn't do it, man. So my friend said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Let's all empty our coat pockets. So we all empty our coat pockets. We don't have the drugs there. Okay, now let's show our shirt pockets. Okay. Now let's pull out our pants pockets. The moment we did this, he jumps up. I mean, we thought he was out of it. High. He jumps up like a cat, grabs one of the metal drumsticks and holds it like he's going to bash one of us with it. And you could hurt somebody with one of those, and backs his way out of the room and left the house. And why did he react like that? Because we found him out. Because he was a thief. I don't think I ever saw him again after that. We found him out. And he reacted. When you look at this, you realize something's going on. There's a reason for this reaction. There's a reason for the satanic venom. There's a reason for the level of hatred. Something's going on here. Yes, it's satanic. Israel serves as a witness nation. The modern state of Israel serves as a witness state. The city of Jerusalem serves as a witness state as it continues to come under satanic assault. That tells you something is going on. We come back, I want to make an important website announcement to you. And I've got one last point to make and one or two more news items to share with you on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, coming your way from England.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Thoroughly Jewish Thursday. This is Michael Brown, and I'm coming your way for the first time ever from London, England, or outskirts of London, Greater London area. If you're anywhere near London, please come visit the meetings Friday. I think during a leaders meeting Friday morning, and then speaking Friday night, Saturday morning, afternoon, and then Sunday morning and evening. Details are on my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Just look for itinerary. If you're looking on your computer, you'll see it under the contact part of the website. Also, when you're on the website, click where it says Jewish and click on Real Messiah, or just go to realmessiah.com. Our new revised website is up and running. I wanted to wait a couple days to announce it because I was adding a few more videos to catch up with the weekly Torah portions. So those will be updated hopefully by the end of next week. But every week, with the weekly Torah portion read in the synagogues, I've got commentary on it with messianic reflections, pointing to Yeshua, pointing to gospel redemption. We've got videos about Jewish tradition and how that interfaces with the Messiah. Keys to understanding the hidden Messiah. Answers to objections. So much material there. Articles, links that'll tell you, okay, here's what we say in our books here. Here's the short version of it so you can dig in and then go deeper if you need to. You'll be really enriched if you can help us with a contribution. Are you giving right now to help reach Jewish people with the gospel? If not, let me boldly ask you to sow into our work, and that's exactly where the money will go. RealMessiah.com to donate. Right on our website, click donate, become a monthly torchbearer, or help with your one-time gift. And please join us with your prayers. A couple of news items, and then I want to finish up this teaching I've been doing today about Israel as a sign and wonder in the earth. Israel testifying to God's faithfulness and promises and purposes. A Campus Reform reported this. If you've never been to campusreform.org, go there, but prepare to be shocked. An assistant dean of students at Cornell University agreed to a request from an undercover journalist posing as a student to start an ISIS club on campus. This on video. You watch it on video. I posted this on Facebook yesterday, I believe. The assistant dean also agreed to send care packages to freedom fighters and their families, as well as to bring a freedom fighter to the school to conduct trainings. What can you say to this? In the video released Wednesday by Project Veritas, an undercover reporter disguised as a potential student from Morocco told Joseph Scafido that he wanted to start a, quote, humanitarian group that supports distressed communities, a humanitarian group in the Middle East, northern Iraq, and Syria, if he did decide to attend the Ivy School. Maybe, you know, get a group that educates on the Islamic State in Iraq and Syria and just educate people, maybe bring them in. And I think programs like that really do have a good place here at Cornell, Scafido said in the video about the possibility of starting the group. The undercover journalist asked if it would be possible to bring a freedom fighter to campus to do like a training campus for students. And the assistant dean said, you'd be allowed to do something like that. It's just like bringing in a coach to do a training on a sports team or nothing. Gosh. What can you say? What can you say? Yeah, as I said a moment ago, And then, according to John McLaughlin, the Republican strategist hired by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in a successful re-election campaign, Israel National News reports that the Obama administration meddled more than you know. He spoke on New York AM 970 channels, the Katz Roundtable radio show. He said what was not well reported in the American media is that President Obama and his allies were playing in the election to defeat Prime Minister Netanyahu. There was money moving that included taxpayer U.S. dollars through nonprofit organizations. And there were various liberal groups in the United States that were raising millions to fund a campaign called V15 against Prime Minister Netanyahu, Victory 2015. Well, it didn't work. Okay, last of my 4 points. Number one was Israel functions as a witness nation in that Israel's very testimony. Israel's very existence is a testimony to the faithfulness of God. Number two, the modern state of Israel only exists because God ordered the regathering of the Jewish people to the land. Number three, the world's hatred of the Jewish people, of the state of Israel, and of a Jewish Jerusalem is a supernatural hatred. And number four, Jesus will not return to earth until the Jewish Jerusalem welcomes him back. And this explains how Israel remains as a sign and a wonder in the earth. Remember what Jesus said in Luke 21, 24. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And he did speak of the scattering of the Jewish people there, the destruction of Jerusalem. Notice that word, until. Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. What does that tell you? That there will be a time when Jerusalem is not trampled underfoot by the Gentiles. That means that the old city of Jerusalem, which had been trampled underfoot by the Gentiles, when that came back under Jewish control for the first time in 1967 in the Six-Day War, first time in centuries that there was complete Jewish control, that was a sign. That was God acting. Look, people have made many mistakes with date setting, but that doesn't mean that the overall truth is not there for all to see. And then, as we've taught many times, that Jesus said that he will not come back to Jerusalem until he's welcomed back by the Jewish leadership. So that means you need a Jewish Jerusalem and the Jewish leadership to welcome him back as Messiah. You find that the clear implication of Matthew 23, verses 37 to 39, and then Peter preaching in Acts 3, verses 12 to 21, basically says this: Jewish repentance will bring back the Messiah. I mean, didn't he say that? Repent then and turn to God, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah. You repent, and God will send the Messiah, and full redemption will come to the whole world. All right, I just looked at the clock. I am out of time. But Jesus makes clear at the end of Matthew 23, a Jewish Jerusalem, Jewish leadership must welcome him back as Messiah. Until then, Jerusalem will not see him, which means the whole world will not see him until Jerusalem welcomes him back. All right, remember to visit realmessiah.com. Encourage your Jewish friends to go there as well. Tomorrow I'll be answering your e-questions. As I come your way from England, please pray for blessing on this trip, that God would really use it to touch many, many people in a significant way. And thanks for holding our hands up. Thanks for being part of our support team. Thank you, every torchbearer, everyone who's made one-time gifts, everyone who prays for us and helps in our work. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. My bottom line today: Israel, the Jewish people, with our blemishes, with our imperfections, we still exist in the earth as a sign to the whole world of the faithfulness and reality of the one true God.